نعم عن عن أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب. It has been related by the Amir of the believers, Amir al-Mu'minin, Abu Hafs, the father of Hafs, Umar bin Khattab. We're going to explain what this Hafs means. Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, who said, Qala, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I heard the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, say, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Indeed, all actions are by intention. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And for each individual is that which he intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Whosoever's migration was for the sake of Allah, was for Allah and His Messenger, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, then its migration was for Allah and His Messenger. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. And whosoever's migration was for a matter connected to the world or for a woman in marriage, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ, then its migration is for that which he migrated to. Please, Umar Shaibu, your video is on, please. Shaibu, Umar Shaibu, please. Someone's video is on, please, off the video. Muttafaqun ala sihhatihi. The authenticity of this transmission is agreed upon. يعني متفق عليه. على صحته. صحيح. Do you understand from صحيح? على صحته. The authenticity of this narration has been agreed upon. This hadith has been collected by the two imams of hadith. The Imams of Hadith, none other than Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. So who is Imam al-Bukhari? Huwa Abdullah, Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ismail bin Ibrahim bin al-Mughira bin Dardizba al-Jufi al-Bukhari. Popularly known as Imam al-Bukhari. His name is Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ismail bin Ibrahim bin al-Mughira al-Bardizba al-Jufi al-Bukhari. So know who Imam al-Bukhari is. He got his name Bukhari from Bukhara. Bukhara is the name of his town in the east. So he was named after, he got his name after a town, Bukhara, to be known as Bukhari, Imam al-Bukhari. Like you have so many people using the name of their town. So you have someone, Rumi, for example, then you have someone, using Katina at the end of his name, then you have so many examples to demonstrate that. So Imam Bukhari, simply put, is Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim al-Bukhari. Imam Muslim, we also know Imam Muslim. Imam Muslim's name is Abu al-Husayni, Abu al-Husayni Muslim bin al-Hajjaj bin Muslim al-Qushayri al-Naysaburi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. They have this in their Sahih. أشقهما اللذين and these two صحيح صحيح البخاري and Muslim اللذين هما أشح الكتب المصنفة. These two books, they are the most authentic books المصنفة that have ever been compiled. The most authentic books that have been compiled. نعم. So if this is the translation of the hadith that we have just read, let us quickly run through some of the amazing statements that the Salaf have to say regarding this hadith, so that we will understand the importance of this hadith. Let us start with the statement of Abdurrahman bin Mahdi. One of the Salaf by the name Abdurrahman bin Mahdi, he says regarding this hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ للدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. أبو عبد الرحمن بن مهدي عبد الرحمن بن مهدي مهدي يقول لو صنفت كتابا في الأبواب لجعلت حديث عمر بن الخطاب في الأعمال بالنيات في كل باب. He said, if I had composed a book, لو صنفت كتابا, if I had composed a book, and this book has been composed في الأبواب containing chapters, لجعلت حديث عمر بن الخطاب, I would have indeed placed the hadith of عمر بن الخطاب, الأعمال بالنيات, actions are according to intention, في كل باب, in each of the chapters. That is to show us how the Salaf viewed this hadith. Intention is the forgotten emergency, is the key thing without which nothing is worth achieving. Allah will not reward us if our intention is not sincere and if we have not done the deeds in accordance with the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is the statement of Abdurrahman bin Mahdi for you. Again, the same Abdurrahman bin Mahdi, he said, من أراد أن يصنف كتابا فليبدأ بحديث الأعمال بالنيات. He said, whoever intends to compose a book, whoever intends to compose a book, فليبدأ بحديث الأعمال بالنيات. Let him start with the hadith of al-a'mal bin-niyyat. So your book should begin with the hadith of Umar bin Khattab, according to Abdurrahman bin Mahdi. That is to show you the importance of it. What is there for us to learn here? Perhaps the author, the one that is compiling the book, and the one that will read the book, will constantly be reminded that intention is very important. The author is reminding himself of the importance of writing this book for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one that is studying in the book is reminded of the importance of making good its intention. Imam Shafi'i, it has been narrated also from Imam Shafi'i, Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayh, he said, هذا الحديث ثلث العلم This hadith of Al-Amal bin Niyat is one third of knowledge, which means if you divide knowledge into three distinct places, one part of it will be contained in this hadith of Al-A'mal bin Niyyat. Imagine, nobody can exhaust what knowledge entails. But imagine exhausting it and dividing knowledge into three parts. Then Al-A'mal bin Niyyat will take a part, one part of it. كما قال محمد بن إدريس الشافعي. Imam al-Shafi'i also said, وَيَدَخُلُ فِي سَبْعِينَ بَابًا مِنَ الْفِكْهِ. And this hadith enters into 70 branches of fiqh. Imam al-Bayhaqi, he brought this statement of Imam al-Shafi'i under the manaqib of al-Shafi'i. وعن الإمام أحمد رضي الله عنه قال إمام أحمد also had this to say regarding this hadith. إمام الشافعي, you know, the madhab of Shafi'i is well known. The madhab of Hanabila is well known. Well, let us, we've had what Imam الشافعي has to say regarding Al-A'mal bin Niyyat, the hadith. Let us listen to what Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal has to say regarding this hadith, its perspective, its understanding of this hadith. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, Rasul al-Islam ala thalathati ahadith. The fundamental of Islam, the fundamentals of Islam are founded upon three traditions, three hadith. The fundamentals of Islam, all of the fundamentals of Islam, they are founded upon three hadith. Please, someone's mic is on. Switch it off. Kindly switch your mic off, please. Now, back to what I was saying. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, Usul al-Islam ala thalathati ahadith. Hadith Umar, Innama al-A'mal bin Niyyat, wa hadith Aisha, Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa huwa radd. وحديث النعمان بن بشير إن الحلال بين والحرام بين. The hadith إنما الأعمال بالنيات is what we are studying now. He said the fundamentals of Islam are placed and founded upon these three hadiths. One, actions are according to intention إلى آخر الحديث. And the hadith of Aisha رضي الله عنها that is in Bukhari and Muslim, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. The hadith that spoke against bid'ah. وحديث النعمان بن بشير, and the hadith of النعمان بن بشير متفق عليه أيضا, it's in Bukhari and Muslim also, that the halal is made manifest and the haram is equally made manifest. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal understood the fundamentals of Islam to be founded upon these three ahadith. Are we following? Naam. What then is niyyah? Niyyah, كما قال Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal أيضا, Al-Fudayl bin Ziyad, he asked Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, like he said, Ibn Rajab bin Hanbal, he brought it under the sharh of this hadith in Jami al-Ulum wal-Hikam. وقال Al-Fudayl bin Ziyad, Fudayl bin Ziyad, he said, سَأَلْتُ أَبَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ, I asked Abu Abdullah, يعني أحمد, يعني Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, عن النية في العمل. I asked him regarding intention in actions. What is intention? What is this intention that is required in our deeds? وقال يعني وقلت كيف النية؟ What is niyya? How is this niyya to be understood? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbali said, قال يعالج نفسه إذا أراد عملا لا يريد به الناس. It's for someone to cure, to protect himself, that whenever he intends to do any deed, لا يريد به الناس, it should not seek for people in that action. يعني it should not do it for the sake of people. Rather, it should do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Niyya, what then is the definition of Niyya? Scholars have two different approaches to the understanding of what Niyya is. Let us look at it from the Arabic point of view, lughatan. أَنَّ النِّيَّةِ فِي اللُّغَةِ نَوْءٌ مِّنَ الْقَصْدِ وَالْإِرَادَةِ النِّيَّة, intention, فِي اللُّغَة, in the Arabic language, it is a type of al-qasd. يعني purpose, والإرادة, you know, intent and will. Even though they have different approaches, each of these, القصد والإرادة والنية, but it is pointing towards one and same thing. والنية في كلام العلماء, النية in the statement of the scholars, تقعو بمعنيين, it falls into two different meanings. أحدهما, the first of the two meanings, تمييز العبادات بعضها عن بعض كتمييز الصلاة الظهر من الصلاة العصر مثلا. For example, according to the scholars, one of the approaches to understanding what niyya is to look at it from this perspective, تمييز العبادات بعضها عن بعض, that is differentiating, تمييز, differentiating between acts of ibadah, acts of worship, one from the other. For example, كتمييز الصلاة الظهر من صلاة العصر مثلا. For example, like you differentiating between صلاة الظهر and صلاة العصر. صلاة الظهر, you know, this is a bonus class in your Arabic lesson, so we won't stop from telling you in your previous lesson of the Arabic class, the pronunciation, مخارج الحروف. So ظهر, ظهر, and العصر, العصر, it's not عصر, it is not عصر, صلاة العصر, it is العصر, عصر, بالعين والصاد, أليس كذلك؟ نعم. So the example here of نية is that which differentiates between similar عبادات, كتمييز الصلاة الظهر من صلاة العصر مثلا. صلاة الظهر and عصر, they all have four ركعات, and they are performed in similar fashion. However, what differentiates between صلاة العصر and صلاة الظهر is the intention behind it. So this is one understanding of intention, that which differentiates between acts of ibadah. Another example, وتمييز رمضان من صيام غيره. For example, like the difference, the differentiating between fasting in the month of Ramadan and fasting other than the month of Ramadan. What differentiates? Fasting is fasting. From the time of Philip to Maghrib time. The same type, the same nature, if it's during Ramadan or outside of Ramadan. And even for those that are paying back the missed fast in the month of Ramadan, even outside Ramadan, what differentiates their fast with the regular Nawafil fast is the intention behind it. So this is one approach to understanding intention. Because fasting is fasting, Salat al-Asr, Salat al-Zuhr, they are all the same thing, but the difference now is in the intention. أو تمييز العبادات من العادات من العادات. That is differentiating acts of worship and customary acts. يعني what you are accustomed to doing like you taking your bath in the morning, كتمييز الغسل من الجنابة من غسل التبرد والتنظيف ونحو ذلك. You enter to take your shower, and you can do your ghusl in that, your ghusl janaba. You can also take perform your ghusl janaba on the shower also. Sifat al-ajza. But the difference, what differentiates your ghusl of janaba and your ghusl of ada is the intention behind it. So this is one approach to understanding intention. وهذه النية هي التي توجد كثيرا في كلام الفقهاء في كتبهم. So when you go to the scholars of fiqh, this is when they refer to when they mention intention, then this is what they are referring to. That intention that differentiates between one act of ibadah and the other one, or an act of ibadah and a normal act that we are accustomed to that does not fall under ibadah. Please, are you following? Let's see from the screen. If you're following, please. Now, okay, it seems everyone is following. Let us go. Please, what screen is popping up on the Shasha? Please, can you take it off, Muhammad Fasih? Muhammad Fasih, stop sharing your screen with us, please. Muhammad Fasih, stop sharing your screen, please. Now, Namshi. والمعنى الثاني, the second understanding of niyyah, intention, is this. بمعنى تمييز المقصود بالعمل. That is differentiating the intention, the purpose of an action. Why are you acting? Why are you doing what you're doing? Yes, you've taken your Quran to recite. Why are you reading the Quran? You perform the ablution to pray. Why are you praying? What do you intend with your prayer? You are giving out sadaqah, charity. What do you intend with your charity? Ask yourself this question. So the second understanding of niyyah is وَهَلْ هُوَ لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. Is it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without any partner with him? يعني your intention for doing what you're doing is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without having any purpose, hidden ulterior motive. Am lillahi wa ghayrihi. Or are you intending by your action the pleasure of Allah and the pleasure of other than Allah also ma'an? For example, you are reading the Quran with the intention of earning reward, while at the same time you want people to appreciate the fact that you are a good reciter of the Quran. So this is niyyah now that we are talking about. What exactly is your intention? So this is the second definition of intention. And intention behind every action entails three things. Niyyat al-ibadah. The first thing is niyyat al-ibadah. The intention for worshipping. So when you are giving out money, one thing, if it is sadaqah, then first aspect of it is that there should be that niyyat al-ibadah, the niyyah of ibadah, to worship Allah. You have intended to worship Allah by giving charity. Secondly, وَنِيَّةُ أَن تَكُونَ لِلَّهِ. Yes, it is ibadah to give sadaqah. That is the first intention. Sadaqah is an act of ibadah. Well, that's good. But the second aspect of it is وَنِيَّةُ أَن تَكُونَ لِلَّهِ. Yes, you have intended to worship Allah. Then that intention should be solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have intended to give charity. Charity is an act of worship, isn't it? That is the first aspect. So, أَن تَكُونَ لِلَّهِ. That intention should be for the sake of Allah. Then, thirdly, وَالنِّيَّ أَنَّهُ قَامَ بِهَا امْتِثَالًا لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. And with your intention, أَنَّهُ قَامَ بِهَا. You are establishing, your obedience to the orders of Allah by that intention. So you're only doing it in response to the command given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're not responding. When Allah said, stand up to pray. So your intention is for ibadah. Prayer is an act of ibadah. Then I'm praying only for the sake of Allah. Then my intention is because Allah asked me to pray. Imtithalan li amri Allah. Mafhoom? Mafhoom, do you understand? Naam. Even, let us now go back to the hadith to understand the meaning of the hadith. ينبغي أن تكون النية مخلصة لله في كل قول وفي كل فعل وعلى كل حال. Are you with me? It is imperative that intention should be solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. في كل قول, in every word. When you say قال الله تعالى, or you say قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, then you should say so intending by your speech the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وجه الله, مخلصا لله. كما قال الله تعالى وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك الدين القيم. So you intend by it the pleasure of Allah, your speech. وفي كل فعل, and in every action of yours. you should intend by it the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ, and in every condition that you find yourself in, every circumstance that you find yourself in, you should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A good example here, your intention should be for the sake of Allah. So you find yourself in a situation whereby you are forced to remove your beard. Yes, mashallah, you love to keep the beard because it's a command given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah asked us to respond to the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet has commanded us to keep our beard, and now you want to keep your beard. Your intention is to follow the sunnah, but now you are compelled by certain circumstances beyond your control to remove your beard. And perhaps that circumstance that you find yourself in is going to be beneficial to the general Muslim masses and the general Muslim community. Then by that, you intend by your removal of the beard to seek for the pleasure of Allah because of looking at the bigger picture. So you invoke al-darurat tubih al-mahdurat. Necessity begets permissibility. For example, but your niyya here is not mujarradan, just like that you just want to remove your beard. Your niyya is because you will not be able to achieve what you want to achieve for the benefit of the Muslims if you have your beard on. For example, the Muslims are lacking in army generals, for example, and you have the opportunity of becoming a military officer, and they're telling you that you should remove your beard, even though I'm just giving this as an example anyway. Let us not go into the intricacy of the matter. Then you also have an opportunity that yes, you are brilliant and you can actually be promoted, and the Muslims can actually have one of their own as a general that will protect the interests of Islam and the Muslims. Then in this circumstance, your removal of the beard is influenced by your seeking for the pleasure of Allah. So your niyyah, you are unlike someone that just removes his beard just like that. Yes, two of you have removed your beard, but your removal of the beard is influenced by a certain intention. So fi kulli halin, so that intention there, if it is for the sake of Allah, you're going to earn your rewards. Have I understood? Now, so quickly, let us understand this hadith. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Let us understand this hadith. Scholars have spoken extensively with regards to the grammatical construction of the first part of the hadith. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. While some of the scholars say, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, that إِنَّهُمَا جُمْلَتَانِ بِمَعْنَى وَاحِدٍ. إِنَّهُمَا جُمْلَتَانِ بِمَعْنَى وَاحِدٍ, that the two of them are, the two sentences have the same meaning, which means إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ is the same thing as وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Indeed, all actions are by intention is the same as for each individual is that which he intended. This is first understanding. However, this understanding is faulty, because they said وَأَنَّ الْجُمْلَةَ الثَّانِيَةَ تَأْكِيدٌ لِلْجُمْلَةِ الْأُولَى, that the second وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى is an emphasis, تَأْكِيدٌ لِلْجُمْلَةِ الْأُولَى is an emphasis on the first sentence statement. ولكن هذا ليس بصحيح. However, this is not authentic. Why? لأن الأصل في الكلام أن يكون تأسيسا لا تأكيدا. The true nature of every statement is for it to be understood the way it is, not to be seen as an emphasis. So you have to take it and understand it, not taking it to be an emphasis unless there is an evidence pointing towards that. So the second understanding, if this first understanding we say ليس صحيح, so ما هو صحيح, ما هو صحيح, then which understanding then is authentic? The best understanding which has been offered by Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen is that أن الجملة الأولى سبب والجملة الثانية نتيجة. That the first statement إنما الأعمال بالنيات is causation, يعني cause. It's a causative statement. We all know cause and effect. والثانية نتيجة, and the second one is a result, effect. So let us understand this cause and effect quickly. The first one, if we let us understand إنما الأعمال بالنيات from the perspective of it being a causation, cause and effect, you know, cause. It then means we will then understand that يبين في النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is explaining in it, أن كل عمل لا بد فيه من نية, لا بد فيه من نية, that every action لا بد فيه من نية, it must be initiated by intention. There is no any deed that has not been preceded by an intention. So that is cause. So intention is a cause to an action. You don't act without having an intention to act. So إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ هَذِهِ الْجُمْلَةَ هِيَ سَبَبٌ. It's a cause. So everyone that acts is acting based on an intention that has been made before the action. So the intention, in essence, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that intention precedes actions. No action without intention. We're going to give an example, inshallah. كل عمل يعمله الإنسان, every deed that a man does, وهو عاقل مختار, while he is sane, يعني he is not a madman, he is sane, مختار, and he has choice, free will, فلا بد فيه من نية, there must be an intention behind that action. أي ولا يمكن لأي عاقل مختار أن يعمل عملا إلا بالنية, صح؟ It is not possible for any individual that is of right mind and has free will, أن يعمل عملا إلا بالنية, that it should do an action without any intention. So you joining us in this Arabic class, before you on your sky to join us, that action of putting on your Skype was preceded by an intention. So you had to intend first to put on your Skype before you can put on your Skype. So someone has to intend to pray before he can perform ablution. Someone has to intend to give sadaqah. It doesn't happen sudfa. It happens as a result of an intention that one has made before the action itself. وَمَحَلُّ النِّيَّةِ الْقَلْبِ The place of making intention is the heart. You don't have to pronounce it. So this first part of the hadith, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, is sababun, cause. حتى قال بعض العلماء, such that some of the scholars, they say, and trying to make us understand this, لو كلفنا الله عملا بلا نية لكان من تكليف ما لا يطاق. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had demanded from us to act without intention, then this would have fallen under overburden us beyond that, overburdening us beyond that which we can carry. And this is not possible, mustahil, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, la yukallifu Allah nafsan illa wud'aha. Allah does not overburden a soul beyond that which it can carry. Alaysa kadhalik. Hence, naturally, no action without intention. That is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trying to make us understand from this first part of the hadith. Am I communicating? So, natija, what is the natija? What is the result? وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And verily, for each individual is that which he intended. Yes, you must have intended to do an action before acting. So, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. This is the result now. So, whatever your intention was before embarking on an action, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. This is how to understand the second part of the hadith. Then the result will be in accordance with your intention before the act. Am I communicating? إن نويت الله والدار الآخرة في أعمالك الشرعية حصل لك ذلك. That is what it means. إن نويت الله. If you intend Allah by your actions, your recitation of the Quran, you're giving out sadaqah, you're attending the majalis of ilm, you're praying, your performance of tahajjud, if all of these actions that you intended to do, you actually did them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna wayta Allah wa dar al akhirah, and the abode of the hereafter, yani yawm al yani al jannah, fi a'malik, you know the examples I gave, ash-shar'iyya, the legislated actions, those actions that you have been obliged to do or encouraged and recommended to do in the sharia, hasal laka dhalik, wallahi it will lead you to that which you intended. That is, it will lead you to having the pleasure of Allah and ultimately be entered into Jannat al-Firdaus. May Allah make us in. وَإِن نَوَيْتَ الدُّنْيَا. But if you seek for this world, فَقَدْ تَحْسِنُ وَقَدْ لَا تَحْسِنُ. You might have this world if you intend your actions of ibadah, this dunya, you might have it. You might not have it. But if you intend Allah, for sure you will have Allah. Alaysa kadhalik. So if you understand this hadith from these two perspectives now, if you understand this hadith, if you understand this hadith from these two perspectives now, that إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ is the statement represents cause, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى represents result, then the Prophet ﷺ, being the best teacher, now went ahead in the same hadith to give example. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now demonstrates, you know, that is what the scholars would say. The Prophet ثم ضرب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مثلا يتبع هذا الحديث عليه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم now gave an example to illustrate this hadith for us to understand the meaning of the hadith. The Prophet now gave us an example. What is this example? فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله whose migration is for the sake of Allah, is for Allah, is to Allah and His Messenger. فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله. So فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله, whose migration is to Allah and His Messenger. This is إنما الأعمال بالنيات. So you have intended to migrate, and your intention now is to migrate to Allah and His Messenger. So what is وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى? What is the natija? What is going to be your result now? فَهِجِرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Then its migration is to Allah and its messenger, which means وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. If you have intended for, with your migration, Allah and its messenger, then you are surely going to meet Allah and its messenger. That is وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا لِلدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا, whose migration is for a matter connected to this world, maybe work. You are living in Darul Kufr in Russia, for example. Then you heard that in Mecca there is a lot of business opportunities. In Russia you are not allowed to practice your religion the way you want, for example. But you heard that in Mecca there are a lot of business opportunities. Then you left Russia for Mecca because of that business opportunity. Apparently you have left Darul Kufr to Darul Iman. But will you be rewarded for hijrah, for migrating for the sake of Allah? La. فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. Its migration is for that which he intends. So he is in China, for example, and he has a lady that he wants to marry from Medina, and the parents are now saying that our daughter cannot substitute Medina for China. We won't allow our daughter to go to China to stay with you, hence we won't marry our daughter to you unless you relocate to Medina. Apparently China is Darul Kufr. Then he left China and comes to Medina to marry this woman. فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. He will not be rewarded for leaving Darul Kufr to come into Darul Islam. Am I clear on this example? So this is the example that the Prophet ﷺ has given to us. Your intention is إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. It's a cause. The reason why the guy left Egypt, China, was because he wants to marry a woman. What is going to be the natija? وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. He will get, either he marries the woman or she dies. When he reaches there, he says, no, we're not going to allow you to marry her. قَدْ يَحْصُلْ وَقَدْ لَا يَحْصُلْ. But if it is for Allah, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ, the forerunners, the foremost of among the migrants and the helpers. So Allah has accepted their migration because they migrated for the sake of Allah. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ. أليس كذلك؟ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted their migration because they migrated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope I'm clear on this. Now, another example. Whoever intends by his prayer, after all, I made a mistake in the verse I quoted. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ من المهاجرين والأنصار الأولين والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار. If you are a Muslim from China, yeah, someone is asking, if you are a Muslim from China and you are now not allowed to worship Allah in China and you are a Chinese person, then you decide to leave China for Mecca, then your hijrah is for the sake of Allah if the reason is to worship Allah. It's the same thing. The Prophet is originally from Mecca, but the Mecca of that time, he was not allowed to worship. Allah has issued, his followers were persecuted, just as you have the Muslims of China today. So the Prophet now was commanded to migrate from Mecca to Medina. So if you are from China and you are not allowed to worship Allah, if you are able to, then migrate from China to the land of Islam, where you will be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. Is this understood? So this is how you understand this hadith from this perspective. Our time is up. If you have any question, then inshallah you can send the questions to the WhatsApp group. Tell us your feedback and what you think we should improve on. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.